Disciples of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a curse for us. When Adam sinned, all creation came under a curse, and everyone who breaks God's law is cursed. But Jesus bore our curse on the cross so that we may receive the blessings of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's get back to it. Witness Wednesday flashback on Wretched Radio.
So you brought up, though, about Jesus forgiving. What is that all about? What is your understanding of that?
My understanding is if you repent, I mean, you acknowledge that you've done a wrong and that you're truly sorry, then you shall be forgiven.
Yeah. Okay. So you can go to heaven because you're forgiven. You're not perfect, but you have been forgiven for not being perfect, and you get to go to heaven if you repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. That's like the core message of Christianity. That's what Jesus came to preach. He came to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So tell me, how old are you, by the way?
21 years old.
You seem to have rejected that whole concept. How come?
I don't think I've really rejected anything. I mean, I suppose I was at heart, I would still consider myself being a Christian from that camp of Abraham. But I mean, I also, you know, try to see what else is going on and learn as much as I can about everything in life.
Right. Which is okay, you know, to examine and explore other religions. But if I asked you this, is Jesus Christ the most important thing in your life? What would your answer be?
Probably not.
Because, you know, your gospel, the gospel of Luke, that we're supposed to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, follow in him. Our love for our God should be so amazingly extreme that our love for our parents, our children, our own bodies is like hatred by comparison.
Well, but I suppose that you can show your love for Jesus in many different ways. If you're trying to eke out a good life and live in virtues that you and God consider good, is that not love for God?
Well, sure. But the key issue isn't just doing good and trying to keep the rules. The big issue is being in a right relationship with God, being forgiven by God. You know the story in the Bible. Man was created to be in a relationship with God, but we sinned, we goofed, we broke off our relationship with him. And the only way to be restored to that relationship with him is by being forgiven, by repenting and putting our trust in Jesus Christ. So we can follow the principles of the Bible, but they don't do us any good because we still fall short. We still break the laws. We break those commandments, and we still have a debt. We still have a fine that God is demanding payment for. And if we don't have payment for that in the blood of Jesus Christ, then we're going to be in big trouble on the day of judgment. So the big issue is, where are we at in our relationship with God? Are we an enemy of God, or are we in a right relationship with God? So if Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, he's the only one. He's the guy who said, I'm it, there is no other. Assuming all of this is true, of course, what the Bible teaches, where do you think you're at in your relationship with God?
Well, I suppose I've gone through that a bit, you know, I've accepted him as my savior, but I suppose, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I've kind of faltered a little bit. I mean, I keep him in my mind, but, you know, I don't know if I'm really following as truly as some people would have you believe is necessary.
Do you read your Bible?
No.
Now, would you consider yourself to be born again?
I have heard that term thrown around, yes.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
And it's really important, because you know what Jesus said? He said that unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Boing. So if that's true, we should figure out just what that means to determine if we are or not. Do you know what do you think it means to be born again?
Well, I don't remember the exact prayer that was said, but it was an exact one where you accept the belief that Jesus died for the sins of all mankind on the cross.
Yeah. Oh, so somebody maybe led you in a sinner, what they call a sinner's prayer, is that right?
That could be.
Did you have some sort of conversion experience?
I suppose that's what it could have been called.
When did that happen?
I was just at church one day.
What did you do? What happened?
I had been going there for a while, and I thought it could be time to say the prayer.
And when you did that, did you apologize to God?
Apologize? No.
I'm going to give you a little understanding of the biblical word of repentance, all right? Because some people just think that repentance is, you know, just maybe realizing you've goofed up. Maybe it's saying you're sorry. But let's just say that you and I agreed we're going to go on a road trip. And we're going to go to Texas for a road trip, go down there and do whatever. So I say, I'll tell you what, Luke, I'll drive because I've been to Texas before. We hop in my car. We start driving. A few hours later, you're looking around and you're going, man, there's just way more pine trees than when we left the cities. And there's a lot of big lakes. And now I'm seeing a sign that says Canada, 80 miles. And you recognize I'm taking you in the wrong direction. Now, I've wasted your time. I said I knew where I was going and I didn't. What would you want me to do at that point if you wanted to get to Texas?
If I wanted to get to Texas, I suppose I'd have to, you know, get you to change the direction or go about my own way.
Specifically, you'd go, hey, dude, look at the evidence. You're going in the wrong direction. And then you'd want me to agree. You know what? Now that you mention it, I am going in the wrong direction. Then you'd want me to stop, apologize, because I've blown it with you, turn around and start driving and not stop till I get there. That's the act of repentance. We're going along our own way. We're living our life, kind of doing our thing, thinking we're a pretty good person. But it's when we understand that God is going to judge us for all of our thoughts and our words and our deeds, and he's going to send people to hell for breaking his laws because it's such an offense to him. And we go, oh man, God, that's really scary. And you've been so kind to me. You've provided everything in my life. You died on a cross to save me from my sins, and I've been living against you. God wants you to agree with him. You've been living the wrong way. He wants you to stop. He wants you to apologize. And he wants you to turn around, forsake your sins, stop living for yourself and start living for him. Now, you know, that doesn't mean going to a monastery, but it means that he's the priority in your life. And he doesn't want you to stop until you get to him. That's the act of repentance. And a lot of people, maybe they were told to simply say a prayer and say that you believe in Jesus Christ, but the Bible teaches that's not it. Just believing in God doesn't cut the mustard. The demons believe and they tremble. They can. It's like as if you were flying along in an airplane and you're cruising along at 30,000 feet and the pilot comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, the tail just fell off of the airplane. We're going to be crashing in about 4 minutes. However, there's a parachute underneath everybody's seat. Luke, what would you do with that parachute?
What would I do with the parachute? I'd take it and use it, I suppose.
Exactly. You don't just sit there and go, okay, I believe the pilot. I believe that parachute could save me. You know, in fact, I think I'm going to sit here and maybe sing some praises to the parachute. That's silly. You wouldn't do that. You got to put him on. And you got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. It's not just a matter of acknowledging. It's a matter of trusting. And the way to do that is to really just think about who he is, your lifestyle in comparison, how you've been living against him and how kind he has been to you. And you humble yourself. You apologize and you put your trust in him. And he says, if you'll do that, then he'll lift you up and he'll give you a new heart with new desires and you'll have a experience that is born again. You're spiritually reborn because you can't go back into your mother's stomach. You need to be spiritually reborn. And that happens when you die to yourself. I'm done with me. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. And he says, I'll lift you up and I'll exalt you and I'll give you a new heart with new desires. And on the day of judgment, you'll be innocent and not guilty. And I'll take you to heaven so that you can glorify me because that's really what life is all about. It's about glorifying your creator. So if you haven't done that, you know, you had an experience, you're kind of trying to figure stuff out. Nobody can make you do what I just described, but I sure would hope you would think about it. I really would hope that maybe this would be something you'd ponder even today, that you think about what the Bible teaches about where you came from, what you're doing here and where you're going. Because man, judgment is so sure. The Bible talks about it so much. It's so sure. And God will throw people to hell and you don't want to go there. And I don't want you to go there. And I hope you would think about it and respond to the good news and get yourself right with God so you can go to heaven. Is that a reasonable plea on a Wednesday afternoon?
I suppose it's reasonable, yeah. But I suppose if I've learned anything from reading Dante's Inferno, I would only go to the first plane of hell.
Well, if Dante's Inferno is in alignment with what the Bible teaches, all right? Because the Bible does say that there are degrees of punishment in hell, all right? The worst degree of hell is like extremely horrendously, totally, completely, horribly awful. The least worst place in hell is violently, tragically, disgustingly, painfully awful. It's all bad, man. It's not good. Besides, more than that, you know what? You shouldn't become a Christian or even think about becoming a Christian because you're afraid of hell. It is absolutely right. You should be afraid of hell, but think about the reality of hell, the reasonableness of hell. But then focus on God's kindness to you, all right? I mean, every breath you've taken, he's provided, he's patiently waited for you. And more than that, Jesus Christ did that because the Bible teaches there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. For your sins to be forgiven, blood had to be shed. He did it for you. So you think about your lifestyle and then think about him doing that for you. And instead of doing it fearfully, you do it tearfully. God, I'm really sorry. You did that for me and I have been a jerk. And you apologize and you become a tear-filled convert, not a fear-filled convert. Fear-filled converts, it doesn't stick, if you will. We come to him because we recognize his kindness, not his wrath. Does that make a little bit more sense?
It does, yeah.
So yeah, think about hell, but think about his kindness too. And that's what should bring you to repentance. All right? What are you studying here?
Mechanical engineering.
Now, you believe in right and wrong. You believe in numbers adding up and multiplying and becoming a specific number, right?
Yeah.
You work with numbers, you work with angles, you work with designs. It either works or it's either right or it's wrong. And the same thing is true with God. I'm guessing you're going to be on the campus and the biggest message that you're going to get around here is all roads lead to God. Don't worry about it. Be tolerant. You can be whatever you want to and you can get to heaven. Now, you can make that decision, but you need to know that Jesus Christ didn't provide that option for you because he's the guy who said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through him. All right? So while that seems intolerant based on what you're going to hear these days, that's what Jesus said. Okay, it's not Christianity. It's not church. Jesus said it. So again, either he was telling the truth, he was nutty, or he was a liar. So figure out what he was. Okay, because the option of just, well, I'll just take my spiritual path, Jesus didn't provide that as an option. All right, fair enough.
All right,
thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it. All right, dude, have a good day.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. The Fortis Plus app, daily videos, podcasts, director's cuts, news, completely free. All of this happens because of gospel partners just like you. Our gospel partners are the ones that get it. They see what we're doing, standing firm on biblical truth, strengthening churches, and helping people think biblically about everything going on in our upside down world. And that's why we want to ask you, if you're not already a gospel partner, we would love for you to join us. Maybe you've been listening for a while, and maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to fortisinstitute.org right now. That's fortisinstitute.org and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, you want to hear something crazy? There is someone out there who wants to match your generosity dollar for dollar. Fortis Institute has received a $500,000 matching grant. That means every gift you give between now and December the 31st, it gets doubled. Let me break it down for you. If you give $75, it becomes $150. You send $300, it turns to $600. And if you're feeling ambitious, you make a $1,000 donation to Fortis Institute, suddenly you're making a $2,000 impact. It's like a buy one, get one deal, but instead of you getting another sweater you don't need, you help strengthen churches and equip believers with solid biblical teaching. And I know what you're thinking. What's the catch? Well, there are two. First, this offer ends December the 31st. Second, actually, that's it. That's the only catch. No hidden fees, no processing and handling. Just visit fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org and watch your gift do double duty, because in a world where everything seems to cost twice as much, isn't it nice to have something worth twice as much instead? fortisinstitute.org.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is the story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, young lady, could I ask you a question on the radio? Interrupt your studies just for a second. Three questions, the big questions of life, big philosophical questions. Questions are these. Where did you come from? What are you doing here? In other words, what's the point of life? And where do you think you're going when you die? Where do you think we came from?
I came from my mother.
All right, where did she come from?
Her mother.
We have to stop at some point. Where do you think people came from?
I don't know.
Evolved, created, Big Bang?
Probably.
Evolved, all right? And what do you think we're doing here? What's the point?
I don't know. Maybe there's no point.
Maybe there's no point. What are you studying, by the way?
I am reading for my English class, but I'm majoring in child psychology and education.
All right, I'll come back to that. I'm kind of curious. What would you tell a child their purpose of life is?
If they ask me that, I tell them to ask their mom because I don't know.
And where do you think you're going when you die?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really think about when I'm going to die because...
You're young.
Yeah, right. It's not important.
Right. How old are you?
I'm 18.
Did you grow up in it with any sort of religious training?
Not really. I went to church a little bit, but that's about it. Not too religious.
Why not?
I don't know, because my family wasn't.
Okay, fair enough. But now you're 18, you're getting a little bit older and starting to think about these things at all?
Kind of. I'm going to start trying to go back to church and stuff, learning about it, but...
Why would you want to go back to church?
Because when I was younger, I went and I want to start going again.
What do you think? So Christian, I presume, right? You say church, you must be a Christian or grew up in a Christian something or another?
Yeah.
Tell me then, what do you think is the central message of Christianity? What do you think is the important teaching of Christianity?
That I wouldn't know. I was too little to remember, I guess.
So you don't have any idea?
No.
All right. That's where you want to go to learn. All right. Would you be kind enough to let me ask you a couple more questions?
Sure.
I'll go really fast. All right. And when this will be very quick, but when we're done, you'll go, okay, I think I just learned something. All right. So here's an offer to learn something, and I won't charge you a thing, unlike everything else around here. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yeah.
Now, what I'd like to do is ask you some questions about the Ten Commandments. Are you familiar with the Ten Commandments?
Not really.
You know the story, the Moses, the Ten Commandments, written on stone. They're God's laws, God's rules. Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments?
No.
That's a pretty honest answer. So, like, for instance, lying. Have you ever told a lie?
Who hasn't?
Fair enough. You're right, right? But people who tell lies are liars, right? You'd agree with that?
Not always.
All right, have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
Have you ever dishonored your parents?
No.
Okay, did they never had to tell you to do anything twice?
Oh, probably.
Yeah. You know, you're naughty. You're just being naughty, not doing what you were told to do. It'd be dishonoring or disrespecting your parents, right?
I guess.
All right, have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain?
Probably.
All right. Well, instead of, you know, letting out a four-letter zinger, you use the name of the Lord instead. That's what I'm talking about, taking the name of the Lord in vain. All right. I just asked you those questions because I think we just asked you four questions about the Ten Commandments. The Bible, don't know if you know this, that you are interested perhaps in studying, says that there is a day of judgment for everybody, that we die and then we get judged by God. If that's true, if God, who is the just judge of all the world, you have to stand before him to give an account for every thought, every word, every deed, every action, everything. Do you think he'll find you innocent or guilty on that day?
You got to forgive people. I mean, nobody's perfect.
But again, breaking the laws, you know, that excuse doesn't work in a court of law. You couldn't stand before a judge and go, well, judge, nobody's perfect and he's going to let you go. If they've got the evidence that you've done wrong, that you've broken the laws, would you be innocent or guilty?
Well, I guess I'd be guilty.
Right? That's the honest answer. It's a rather unpleasant answer, but nonetheless, you'd be guilty before God of breaking his laws. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't think anybody's not, really.
I agree with you. You just quoted a Bible verse. You're right. Everybody sins and falls short of God's standard. You're absolutely right. All right. But we should figure out the whole process here, because God isn't going to let us off the hook because everybody else blew it too. So there you stand before God. You're guilty. Now listen very carefully to the way I phrase this question. You've broken God's laws, your thought life, your actions, everything. Should God send you to heaven or to hell for breaking his laws?
Well, it depends upon to what extent. Like, if it depends upon how you are as a person, like what's in your heart, not like what you did when you were 15 and stupid, you know? So, I mean, if you're a bad person, then you're going to go to hell. If you're not, then you're not.
Okay. It looks, is that the Christian organization that gave you something?
No, this is my friend. She probably put it on a flyer.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to, again, you can do whatever you want to do with this information, but I would simply share with you that actually the Bible says, though, that when we look at ourselves to see if we're good or not, we shouldn't compare ourselves to like that person or that person. We have to compare ourselves to God's standard of perfection. And God's standard of perfection is the Ten Commandments. So every time we lie, he sees us as a liar. Every time we take anything, whether it's an apple or a pen or anything, he sees us as a thief. In fact, Jesus even said, if you just look at somebody and have a sexual thought about them, you've committed adultery in your heart. You just call somebody an idiot or a fool in anger. You've committed murder in your heart, because God sees the intentions of our hearts. And what he sees, the Bible describes, is something that's deceitful and wicked above all things. And that's why we do bad things. And we work our hardest to try to restrain those bad things. But at our core, at our nature, we're corrupt and we're broken and we are sinful. So if God judges and sees that, everything, I mean, just think of thought life alone. If he finds you guilty, which you confessed he would, again, the question is, should he send you to heaven or hell for breaking his laws?
Well, he shouldn't send you to hell.
Well, you know what? It's just a hard answer, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to say that. All right. But here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to explain to you what the Bible teaches, and then you can figure out what to do with it, all right? Because the Bible says you should go to hell. I mean, it's the hard thing to say, so.
You're going to hell.
Everybody should go to hell. Okay, you hear my emphasis on should? Everybody should go to hell because they've broken God's laws. You know, some people have the impression that God's just kind of this white-bearded guy who kind of trips around heaven with a cane, but the Bible describes him as a just judge, a righteous judge, even an angry judge who doesn't like it when people break his laws because it dishonors him and it's very offensive to him. So he will punish people for breaking his laws on the day of judgment, and he will send them to a place called hell. And that's a horrible thought, because you know what hell is like. I know you haven't been to church for a while, but you know what hell is like, right?
Sure.
It's awful. Now, here's the rest of the story. Do you know what God has done so you don't have to go to hell?
No.
What do you know about Jesus Christ?
Nothing.
All right. Here's the story of Jesus Christ in a nutshell. Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, claimed to be God in human form, took on a human body and claimed to be God in the flesh. And he said the reason that he came was for one specific reason and one reason only. And that was so that he could shed his blood, because the Bible teaches there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. So Jesus Christ, God himself, came to this earth and shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, so that your sins, your violations against God's law, could be forgiven. Because God will send people to hell, but he doesn't want to. And so he created a plan. He came to this earth and took basically the punishment you deserve. So instead of sending you to hell, he came and basically took hell for you. It's called the good news. The most kind thing that anybody's ever done for you is by dying for you and shedding his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Because God doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want to send you to hell. He wants you to get into a right relationship with him. He wants you to glorify him, and he wants to spend eternity in heaven with you. That's amazing kindness. So the bad news is God is just and he's righteous and he's holy and he's going to send people to hell. But he's also loving and he's kind, and he died to forgive you of your sins, so that when you stand before him, you'll be found not guilty and you can go to heaven. That's the good news. So while the painful side is you should go to hell, God desires that you go to heaven. So here's another important question for you. If it's true that God died for you, shed his blood to forgive you, forgiveness is available for you, what do you think your response to that should be? What do you think God requires you now to do?
I don't know.
Well, if I had done something really horrible to you, punched you in the nose, you know, just knocked you about the head, just was really, did really bad things to you and just beat you up. And you've been kind to me. Well, what would you want me to do? What would you want me to say to you after I've physically hurt you?
I don't know. Apologize?
You bet. Apologize. You bet. Say you're sorry and really mean it because you've been kind and I've been a jerk. Same thing is true with God. When you recognize his kindness and how you've been living, you go, God, I'm really sorry. I've blown it. I've been living for myself and I should be living for you. And you've been kind to me. You've provided everything for me and you died for me and I'm sorry. The Bible says if you'll do that, if you'll humble yourself, repent, which means to say you're sorry, to confess and forsake your sins, and if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior of your soul, the Bible says you'll be restored to a right relationship with God, which means you'll be forgiven and you'll go to heaven with God if you'll repent and trust, all right? So that is what some church is going to teach you if you go to church. That's the message of Christianity. And you just got a little lesson in a nutshell. That's what the Bible teaches about God's relationship with us. All right? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
You're a nice young lady. Thank you very much. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.